According to the Guinness World Records, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. Over 5 billion copies of the Bible have been sold. The Reverend Peter Gomes wrote these words about the Bible's place in our lives in his New York Times best-selling book called The Good Book. He says this: "One survey after another confirms the fact that an astonishingly high percentage of American households claims not only to own a Bible, but to read it on a regular basis. Hardly a hotel room in the world is without a copy of the Bible in the bedside table, placed there courtesy of the Gideons. And thanks to the unremitting efforts of the Wycliffe Society, the Bible has been translated into nearly every language on the earth. And with all the Bible apps out there now, there are even more ways to engage the scriptures, even on our mobile devices. And you don't have to carry the actual book with you anymore to have it. I personally like Bible Gateway website, where you can look at lots of different translations of the scriptures at the same time, and I use the YouVersion app, Y-O-U, YouVersion app of the Bible on my phone for easy access to all translations of scripture wherever I am. And yet, despite the prevalence of Bibles, our biblical literacy in recent decades has been on the decline. According to the Barna Research Group, 10% of the people polled out of a group of 1,000, 10%, thought Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. Probably the Ark connection is what made people think this. And a quick Google search lists the following items which people commonly think are in the Bible, but in fact, they are not found anywhere in the scriptures. You ready? The sayings, "This too shall pass," not in the Bible. "God moves in mysterious ways," also not in the Bible. "Cleanliness is next to godliness," not in the Bible. Whew. And "The story of the little drummer boy," it's not in the Bible. While people often attribute these things to the Bible, none of them are in fact found in Scripture. You can Google them, not right now, but later, to find out where they actually come from. But it's not the Bible. This is one of the many reasons why it's important for us to spend time actually listening to what the scriptures say. And the only way to do this is to hear them speak to us. We need to spend time reading and listening, for they have much, much to tell us. Before the Bible became a book like we know it to be today, people told the stories of the faith or read the scrolls in public, because they were written on scrolls, these stories, or they read the letters that are now part of what we know as the New Testament. In fact, we sometimes forget that there was no such thing as a New Testament until 3 centuries after Jesus died. The point here is that for 300 years before the Bible came to be, people gathered to listen to the word, to hear it being told to them, and to consider what it was saying. One of my good friends in seminary, the Reverend Dr. Allison Bowden, now Dean of the Chapel of Religious Life at Princeton Seminary, memorized the entire Gospel of Mark for her master's thesis. Allison has her undergraduate degree from Vassar in theater arts, so it was right up her alley to memorize and then perform the Gospel of Mark. We all attended her public performance, and I have to tell you, all these years later, it was still unforgettable. It was the first and only time that I've attended the public performance of one of the Gospels, and as I sat in the chapel at Union Seminary in New York City where we studied together, I was struck by how humorous some of the stories are in the Gospel of Mark. I didn't realize that until I listened to Allison recite the Gospel in this public way. I heard things from that Gospel in a way that I have never heard them before or since. For a long time, the stories of the faith were shared in this oral tradition, and we still follow some of that tradition today, as every time we gather for worship, we read Scripture aloud during the worship service. Now, there was a very, very complex process of the stories being written down and then selected to go into what we now know as the Bible. There is a lot more, a lecture full, a course full of things that should be said and can be said about the editorial process of how the Bible came to be, but that's not the point of today's sermon. Instead, today I want to focus on how we might listen for God's voice when we read or hear scriptures. The early church practiced this method of biblical interpretation called Lectio Divina, which means divine reading, a way of mixing the reading of scripture with prayer and meditation. This was started by a person named Origen. I'm serious, that's really what his name was, Origen. Origen lived in the 2nd and 3rd centuries before there was an actual Bible. And then St. Benedict used this method with his monks in the 6th century, Rather than an analytical approach to the words of Scripture, looking at historical context and all kinds of biblical criticism and biblical scholars, rather than that, it's a way for the words to simply be present and live in us. What will we hear when we let go of what it's all supposed to mean and simply let it reside within us? This is the point of Lectio Divina. Each Sunday during this worship series, we have been using a modified version of this method of scripture reading. You may have noticed that we read the scripture twice. We listen to some music. Thank you, Jim. That was beautiful. And then we read the scripture again. Saint Benedict wrote that Lectio Divina cultivates the ability to listen deeply, to hear with the ear of our hearts. This practice has been going on in one form or another for 1,500 years. Think about that, 1,500 years, and we're still connected to it. Lectio Divina has primarily been practiced in the Roman Catholic Church, but in the past few decades, it has become much more of a practice in the Protestant Church as well. And the population most enthusiastic about this practice has been young adults in their 20s and 30s. The basic practice of Lectio Divina involves listening to this passage of Scripture, meditating on it, praying on it, thinking about it, to hear with the ear of your heart. It's truly amazing the insights that can be discovered and the feeling that this is really living word when we listen to the scripture in this way. A few years ago, I heard about something called Life Journal. It's a method that follows the Lectio Divina reading idea, and I personally have found this method, this reading of scripture and listening for God's voice, to be very helpful, very significant, and very meaningful in my life. Like the Lectio Divina, the idea is to read a passage of scripture a couple of times and to listen for what jumps out at you, a particular verse, a word, or a phrase. There is a reading plan in this little book. So if you do it every day, you can actually read the entire Bible in a year's time. It's about 3 chapters a day. Or you can read a chapter and go slower if you want. The other part of this practice, besides reading the scripture, involves journaling and using an acronym called SOAP for listening. The SOAP acronym stands for four things: Scripture, that's the S, Observation, that's the O, Application, that's the A, and Prayer. SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. So what I do is I read a passage of Scripture, usually 2 to 3 times, and then I write down the verse or the phrase or the word that gets my attention from that passage. And then I make an observation about the words or the verses that I wrote down. I write down my observation and I think about, how will I be different today because of what I have just read? That's my application. And then I write out a prayer about what I've heard. Scripture, observation, application, prayer, SOAP. Over the years, I have found this method of listening to Scripture to be meaningful, helpful, to connect with God, to listen with the ear of my heart. At times when I have needed to make big decisions in my life, or when I have faced crushing, difficult times, or even happy times, I find the words speak to me when I think about them and let them wash over me in this way. SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. To close the sermon today, I'm going to offer you one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I invite you to sit back and listen. I will read it twice, and as you listen, I invite you to write down one word or phrase that gets your attention. You can write it on the cover of your bulletin or on a scrap paper piece that you have, or type it into a memo thing on your phone, or grab one of those pew envelopes, and you can write it on the back of there. As you listen, listen for that phrase that speaks to you. And later today, I invite you to continue the process by meditating on that phrase. Let it roll around in your mind. What observations do you make about it? Remember, SOAP. How does this word apply to your life right now? What application do you make? How will you be different today because of what you have heard? Then I invite you to pray, to dialogue with God. Focus not only on the passage, but on your personal life as well. Many people take a word or a phrase that they have been ruminating on and they hold it next to a life experience or a question that they are exploring and struggling with, allowing that word or phrase to have a conversation with the question. You may also pray about anything that's on your mind, and then think about the insights that you may have received or any decisions that you feel called to make. What are the next steps that feel indicated to you? And above all, give thanks and gratitude to God. Lectio Divina, listening for God in Scripture, SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. I'm now going to read for you Psalm 46. What do you hear? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations have been brought on the earth. God makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations God has brought on the earth. God makes wars cease to the end of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.